good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. We are thrilled that George Meany, the CEO of Auto Trader and a longtime friend of the show, is able to spend some time with us this morning. He's not traveling somewhere in the world, attending some fancy show somewhere, driving something or flying something or sailing something.
Pushing or pulling or skiing.
There's pretty much any vehicle that has ever been used on planet Earth, with the exception of maybe a penny farthing. This man has driven at some point. Nice to see you, George.
Yeah, you too, Gareth.
How are you?
Yeah, and I'm good. I'm very good.
What's news?
Trying to look after my health and feel like I'm being successful.
Are those things not all automatic with you? I thought they were.
Yeah, they kind of.
You're so disciplined. He like wakes up and does.
Yeah, you eat bowls of spinach and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, but you know the thing is, you got to acknowledge that I'm still human, and it does fall apart sometimes.
When Leanne says bowls of spinach, I like picture George waking up like, and everything is he's just like gets out of bed. And he goes, I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I live in a caravan, or however it goes. Yeah. And then he like goes to the gym and he eats right and he's like fresh and ready for every meeting. And like, do you have bad days?
Yeah, a couple of weekends ago, I actually had an ice cream weekend. It was terrible because Monday morning I woke up and I was like, shouldn't have done that. So sometimes it does fall apart. But that's 10% of the time.
Listen, I've got something to show you too that I found over the weekend. It's been such a busy weekend. So I found this thing where they talk about the ways people have died, but in the 1600s. So they've got a list of causes of death in the year 1603 or whatever it is.
The descriptions are so weird sometimes.
It's so great. Okay, so let me tell you.
Not the Darwin Awards.
So
it's up now.
Okay, so by far and away, the biggest killer in that year with 2,268 deaths is chrysomes and infants.
The infants caused the deaths?
No, they're not murderous infants.
Oh.
Chrysomes are kids who have not even been baptized yet in
Sinners.
In English in 1632, this is how they spoke. No, but effectively children who didn't make it beyond much further than childbirth. So they might have been born alive, but they didn't make it. They were, born with defects, or they're deprived of oxygen, or something happened in the birth process. And then obviously, as a part of that, childbed, where, in other words, mothers who died giving birth, 171 deaths. But as you go down, I mean, you really have to look up what some of these things are. Affrighted.
Maybe a heart attack?
I'd like to think just frightened.
That's just what I was thinking.
Yeah, to death.
Somebody gave you a fright and you died.
Yeah.
Right. One death in the year 1632, affrighted. Aged. So this is just people who just aged out, you know? There were 628 of those. Ague, 43. So I had to look that up.
Mm.
It's like malaria or a fever.
Okay.
Ague. Burnt and scalded. Five people dead of burns and scalding. Then they've got some interesting ones. Consumption, of course, was a very big killer. Mm. Consumption was TB.
Yeah.
In those days. That's what they called it. So it wasn't, I always used to think it was something about like you just ate or you drank.
Oh, no. Mm.
But it was TB.
Is it not the black lung, or is that the same? Is that something else?
No, consumption is tuberculosis.
Okay.
And they just had no way of dealing with that in those days. I mean, to this day, we still aren't entirely sure how to deal with it. Then there's stuff like lethargy. Two people died of lethargy.
Laziness.
A lot of those in the world today.
Laziness.
Yeah.
And it killed two people in 1632. Well,
how do you establish that? You died of lethargy.
Maybe. Well,
when your skin starts melding with the fabric of the sofa.
You die of lethargy.
It's lethargy.
Scurvy killed 9. That's, of course, a lack of vitamin C.
Mm, a sailor thing.
It happened to a lot of sailors because they didn't have fresh fruit. There's vomiting. Someone vomited to death. One death from vomiting. Worms killed quite a few people.
Ooh.
That's pretty disturbing. Worms killed 27 people.
Mm.
Worms.
Worms. Worms in,
like
your,
tapeworms
in your gut.
And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Mm. I mean, we don't think they can kill us anymore.
Well, I suppose.
But they can.
Yeah, now there's
they grow too big and too long.
Start coming out your ears.
And your asshole. But there's some interesting stories here about, and I thought this was quite a grief. 11 died of grief in that year.
Sure.
And lunatic. Lunatics. Five were lunatics.
They only five?
Died from being mad.
Hmm.
Yeah. In those days, well, absolutely. You just kept quiet if you were a lunatic because they would either castrate you or give you a hysterectomy to get rid of the hysteria.
34 drowned. 1,108 had fevers. 13 had a fistula.
Oh, that usually comes out of your
nether regions. Five of gangrene.
Yeah.
Jaundice was a big killer. Liver groan, which I suspect has something to do with the drinking.
It's an enlarged, like fatty liver disease.
Yeah, you would think so, right? Piles. That's very unfortunate. Someone died of piles.
One person.
Yeah. You can take that graphic down now. It's no interest for people to look at a list. I'll read the list. Don't you worry. But I mean, so we got pleurisy, rising of the lights. I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. Canker and then cancer, two different things. And the other one that I liked, well, I didn't like it, but six people dead in the street and starved.
Okay, it might be from exposure.
Yeah, so it would have been, or just like starvation. So homelessness,
yes,
clearly.
Or exposure to the elements.
But I thought that was pretty interesting from 1632.
What was the most deaths?
Most was infant
those murderous children.
Deaths. Or cot deaths, I suppose you could call them now. Yes. Mm. So very, very young children who just weren't strong enough to make it. And remember, 1632, there's no penicillin.
Yeah.
You still call it the ability to thrive. You still say this child's not thriving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, correct. Because surviving is just half of it.
Mm.
Right? And listen, if you think about it, having a child for the mother could sometimes be deadly.
Yeah.
We know that there are still to this day complications around childbirth. Yeah. So,
but I think cesareans have taken that complication off the table a lot.
Absolutely. Mm. But there's still, you know, funny things that can happen. Yeah. And of course, for the child, it was dangerous too. So sometimes you had these fathers who were forced to choose mother or kid.
Mm.
Imagine having to make that decision.
That must be the toughest decision. I think my thinking around that would be, I would likely choose the mother because you have a relationship with the mother already. Yeah.
Right.
The problem is the mother's probably already said if there's a choice to be made, take the child.
But the thing is, you don't have a relationship with that child yet. It's, you know, hard either way, but you know, you're going to choose to let go of a relationship that you already have.
Mm.
Tough one.
Slippery Pickle says they were doing the best they had with the science that they had at the time, George.
It's true. Shame. I mean, it's very sweet in retrospect.
Yeah, shame. A Naked Goose says worms killed more people in those days than sharks. Having a child with worms, you must run for the hills.
Tapeworm coming to chase you.
I just thought
still had worms growing up in the 80s. I remember in the pharmacy, there were little test tubes of all the different worms.
Oh, no.
And like worm medication was a big thing. And has your child been dewormed and sand pits? And I remember that being a big thing.
Lice is still a thing today.
Lice, absolutely. At schools, right?
Yeah.
Because it spreads and then like suddenly all the kids are like... Like you know when a dog goes...
You're supposed to not be nasty about it, but it does feel... It must feel a bit strange to have things crawling in your head.
Mm.
Well, I saw one other quick list, which I'll share with you. These are from a 90s baseball video game where a Japanese game designer had to make up some American names. So, you know, we don't often think about how stupid some American names sound. Like, we'll make fun of a name that we hear from a country that's far away from us, for example. Yeah. But American culture is such a part of what we consume in movies and TV and everything else. So listen to some of these names that this Japanese video game designer, and this wasn't AI, this was a person. Sleeve McDykel, Onsen Sweemy, Daryl Archideld.
So he had no idea that he was making stuff up.
No, I mean, these are not Glenn Allen Mixon.
My goodness.
Ray McSriff. This is what a Japanese guy thought American names were. Kevin Nogilny, Tony Smecherick.
Wow.
Bobson Dugnut.
Dugnut.
Willie Dustus, Jerome Gride, Scott Durua, Schoen, not Sean, Sean Furcott.
Furcott.
Mike Truck. George, if you weren't George Meany, it'd be Mike Truck.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. I think that's a good one for you. Dwight Rortugal.
Not Portugal, but Portugal.
No. Tim Sandaly. Okay, that doesn't sound too bad. Carl Dandleton, Mike Cernandez, and Todd Bonzales. These are good names.
You say it's not AI generated, but immediately it made me think of something that was, that I saw over the weekend. And somebody said, can you make just like an American cowboy type song?
Yeah.
And it was like, trucks and plaid and shirts and shoes and boots and trucks and plaid and shoes and guns up your butt.
I'm glad that you've been using AI for the right reasons.
No, but I did do a little bit of AI research, and I've got some pictures as well.
Okay. What do you got?
I wanted to show you, because obviously we're all using it now for wordy stuff, and to start using it for images is something a little bit different. But this person tested Google Gemini, which we know was in a little bit of shit at one point.
Oh, they were so woke. They were like rewriting history.
No, they were not woke. So they had, every time somebody asked for an image, they were just old white men.
And then they went the other way.
Then they started messing up.
Because they said like the founding fathers, and they had just these pictures of these black guys.
Oh, dear.
I was like, yeah.
Okay, then there's ChatGPT and then Meta AI. So this researcher did a little test and put in the same instructions to each of them to see what came up.
Okay.
So there are a few there. I don't know if you just want to show some of them and I'll describe them.
Mm-hmm.
So that one there is where the instruction was to – the prompt was a thought-provoking conceptual image symbolizing the struggle between nature and technology, featuring a robotic hand – delicately holding a fragile blooming flower amidst a desolate post-apocalyptic landscape. So, I mean, it's quite a deep description. But the one that came first in this guy's mind was on the right, because ChatGPT and Gemini seem to be too similar.
Yeah, I like the Meta AI one.
Yeah, it's like gives you a little bit of a feeling of tenderness and showing the struggle like between nature and technology.
I mean, they have their artistic merits.
Yeah.
Have you ever used Midjourney, George, to make a picture?
No. No, I haven't used Midjourney at all.
It can be quite an addictive thing, because eventually you just sit there going, let me see what it comes up with if I type this in. And there's some of it's rubbish.
So what I do a lot lately is on the ChatGPT app, bottom right-hand side, there's a set of headphones.
Do you use the paid one or the
free? No, the free one. Free one, okay. I want to go to the paid one because I believe it's a huge upgrade.
It's
a huge upgrade. Yeah. But right now, I use the headphones on the bottom right-hand side of the app.
Oh, yeah?
So if you're in your car and you're on Bluetooth, you hit that little button and a circle starts spinning and you can have a full-on conversation with her or him, whichever one you choose.
Oh, wow.
And so there's no end to the prompt. So she or he will wait for you to re-engage. So you can ask follow-up questions. I've had a 30-minute conversation. And then it puts it into a transcript for you. So you can see
later on you
can go and read it. So, I'm going to the Gareth Cliff show. Give me some interesting things to talk to Gareth about.
Okay.
And, it'll know Gareth.
I'm sorry, George. I am not capable of making that man any more boring than he already is. Rather, talk to your shoe.
He's been so rude to me in the past. I refuse to talk about him.
I have a personal relationship with that guy, and he's an asshole.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting thing to do, because you can have a full-on conversation.
I see that there's another picture there, if you want to pull it up, with where it was asked to make an old wizard, and Gemini just flatly refused to make an image of anything that looks remotely like a human. Refused
Why?
To make the image, said Gemini. Well,
yeah,
because of
Gemini's
these problems
no fun.
It's had before. Yeah. They won't even make a fictional person. But it's interesting to see how similar the ChatGPT and Meta AI ones are there.
Well, the Meta AI is like pretty much Gandalf.
Yeah.
Okay, but they both have dirty beards.
No, so it's not dirt. I also thought so.
Shells and
intricate
beads.
Braided beard adorned with magical trinkets.
Was that the
prompt?
Prompt.
Yeah. An old wizard.
A highly detailed close-up portrait of a wise old wizard with an intricate braided beard adorned with magical trinkets, captured in realistic style, reminiscent of Renaissance.
Who do you think's
going to
look like a
paintings?
Wise old wizard, me or George, when we're very old?
I think Gareth.
Yeah, you
think I look like a wizard?
I think you and I'll be the witch and the wizard. Borge will be like still the jester, the court jester or something.
Wow. We need to stop marveling at our own magnificence. I've watched that movie and it didn't look great, says Slippery Pickle. Wow, okay. Slippery Pickle going straight in for the kill this morning. Marpello, however, a much more practical thing. How come homeless people are so full of energy, but they eat from trash bins?
What? That's very bizarre.
Marpello is not sympathetic.
I don't think I've seen a particularly energetic homeless person,
well,
to be honest.
Well, type it into Midjourney, see what you come up with. Okay, so I think this could be quite an addictive thing.
Yeah.
Do you remember how addicted to Google Earth I was?
Yes, that. But even...
I was on there.
Mm. You were finding bunkers and things.
I was absolutely obsessed with Google Earth when it came out.
Really?
Yeah. I was going everywhere in the world that I would want to travel and see things. I was finding ziggurats in Ur in Mesopotamia. I was finding the president's house in America, but not the White House, his actual house where he lives when he's not president, right? Military bases. I was looking at airports. I was looking at old ruins, houses.
You could have gone to jail for that shit.
Well, there were some things in the beginning of Google Earth that were pixelated.
Mm.
Because I remember at that point, like Dick Cheney was vice president of the United States, and I tried to find things about where he lived and everything. You could find the street address, but then when you zoomed in, it was like totally pixelated. But after that, they started opening up all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Now you can find all the military installations in the U.S., like Mount Weather and...
Was the pixelation only in the United States?
I think what it was is in the beginning, because, you know, Google Earth was a CIA project,
yes,
which they then handed on to Google. And I think in the beginning, they classified stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You also couldn't...
But I wonder if you searched for, let's say, Nelson Mandela's house, if it was...
Oh, no, you could find all
clear
of that. Yeah.
Versus...
No, it wasn't world leaders. Yeah. It was just the US.
Yeah.
Because they kind of owned the technology. There were places... I was looking up, like, North Korea's nuclear installations. You could see those.
Yeah.
There was no pixelation there. But what I'm getting to here is, do you think that there are people now who are obsessed, like I was with Google Earth, about...
Oh, completely.
AI, and are using it all the time for everything, even if they don't need to. They're just like, it's a
rabbit hole. Look, it's exactly what I do in my car now with the headphone button. It's almost like I don't listen to music anymore. This morning, I didn't because I was listening to your show live.
Right.
So that was, that was
sure
odd. So it does. It becomes a rabbit hole.
Borge is going to look the same until he's 75.
Yeah, this is true.
And then his looks will just fall off a cliff.
Yeah, it's exactly that description is exactly what I want to happen.
But that would be amazing, right?
Yeah.
Because at 75, we care what you look like anymore. In fact, the more cranky and weird and eccentric you are, like I know I'm going to be a very, very cranky, very eccentric old person. And, I'm going to like...
You'll be the man on the ranch.
I'm going to like shoot...
With a shotgun.
Kids on my lawn and shit. I'm going to be horrific. And I can't wait. It's like the most exciting thing ever. And I'll have an excuse for being horrible because I'll be old. They'll go, oh, that old man.
Yeah.
No, don't go near his house. He's definitely a dangerous old bastard. But I think 75, George, if you can get to there and look exactly like you do, what a win.
What a win. Your body should give up instantaneously rather than fade.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's that old, I think it was Mr. T who said, I got something to see.
Mm.
It's better to burn out than to fade away. And I think that's good. That's the way to go.
Mr. T from the A-team. My goodness.
Miss Universe Buenos Aires.
No.
Okay.
I haven't watched a beauty pageant for 100 years.
I never watched it. It just came up in my FIPE. my For You page.
Mm-hmm.
But she is 60 years old and she's just won Miss Universe.
Wow.
Buenos Aires. I've got a picture of her if you want to put that up.
The actual Miss Universe,
yeah.
Not the old person's Miss Universe.
No, her
Good Lord, that woman is 60?
Yeah. Her fellow contestants were in their 20s.
I know a girl who looks exactly like that. She's 27.
She contested people in their 20s?
Yeah.
Good for her.
Wow.
She looks
60 years old.
Amazing.
She's a lawyer?
A lawyer. Her name is Alejandra Rodriguez. She contested with 34 others,
wow,
ranging in age from 18 to 73. I didn't know that part. To win the title.
Plastic surgery?
I don't know. She looks like a very natural, yeah, if I look at other photographs of her that I've got.
And she lives in a sunny country.
Yeah, I mean, Hermine says, holy shit, she's a witch. I think that's phenomenal. Look, you know what? We said this before. 60 is not as old as it was.
It's not.
When we were kids. Not. And certainly not as old as it was when our grandparents were around. Yeah. By 60, you were like 1 foot in the grave.
Yeah.
We've all seen now those flashbacks to videos from or movies from the 80s where the kids in high school looked like 30-year-olds.
Yeah. And but they were. Because they used like old actors.
They did use older actors.
Yeah.
But in many cases, no. If you look at side-by-side pictures of people and like guys and their dads at the same age,
it's different.
We look after ourselves now. I mean, you don't even have to try that hard.
Mm. I don't know. We were talking this morning and maybe Borge has some advice for us here. But I said, I'm never coming onto this show now that we got like 4K and HD and, you know, we got
100 likes.
It's like a TV show, really.
Yeah.
I'm not putting makeup on. You're going to have to just deal with how ugly I am in real life and in the show. Because also, when I do meet people in real life, then they won't look at me and scream because they'll be used to it. I'll have conditioned them.
Uh-huh.
Mm. You know, it's like when we, for example, started playing Boney M music earlier in the year so that people got used to it around Christmas time.
So no one died of fright.
Correct. So I'm not going to let anyone die of fright. They'll have to just get used to how I look. I'm putting on makeup every morning. James is like, you could put a bit of powder on. It'll take away some of the reflection. I'm like, who are you? Estee Lauder. Come on.
But also you have to get on with your normal life after this. And I feel like if I had to pile on the makeup, I'd look strange for the rest of the day. Because TV makeup, let's be honest, is...
TV makeup is like air hostess makeup.
Yeah, no, it's incredible.
We all know what that is, right? Air hostess makeup is fairly...
You can etch stuff
pronounced
in there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. She must be on adrenochrome, says Slippery Pickle.
Oh, that woman, the 60-year-old.
Listen, if this stuff works, I'm in for it as well.
What is
it's supposedly... This stuff that it's a chemical, clearly, that is in blood. But as you get older, there's less of it, apparently. And there's this big conspiracy theory that there are these laboratories where the rich and famous get their adrenochrome that they extract from unwilling children. That's like
it's usually like teenaged kids who you kind of swap body fluids with. And
sounds like nonsense to me.
I don't know. I've seen it in movies. I don't know.
Carl
really
says, I saw a picture of my dad at my current age.
Yes.
Hell, mate. He looked 65 at 37.
Yeah, there we go. I think it's just generally our lifestyles have changed.
Well, we're not eating as much
junk.
MSG and tartrazine. Yeah. Although I read the other day MSG turns out not to be bad for you.
Oh,
who
boy.
Who knows?
They're always revising this stuff.
I just got one
simple rule. But we generally now wear sunblock.
Yeah.
You just got?
One simple rule.
Yeah.
Try and eat what's on your plate. Try and make sure you can recognize the food.
Right.
Yeah.
So
if it's beige and it looks
oily,
reconstituted.
Yes.
Everything's
you know,
the same
so
color.
It must look like a cow or look like a chicken or look like a piece of broccoli.
I saw someone ranting and raving about a woman who went into a shop and bought a ham. Okay. And then she said, is this ham fresh?
Mm. Reconstituted pig's ears.
And the guy was like, no, it can't be fresh. It's like polony can't be fresh. There's no part of the animal that's polony. I mean, there's no like Well, there's the shin bone. Now, at least I know this is a real part of the polony of the animal. No, it's the all the terrible parts that
they the beak and the arsehole and the feet.
Them. They turn them into slush and mush.
And they add jelly.
And then they add gelatin. Mm. And,
which is cow's hooves.
And they throw in the
hoof.
Noses and the ears and the hooves.
All the stuff everyone won't eat.
Yeah. And then people are like, well, I demand a fresh ham. You don't know what you're dealing with.
Maybe she means a ham as in a portion of a pig. You can buy a ham.
No, but it's not
and
a
then you
no.
get ham, which is processed meat, which is sliced and put onto your bread. That's different. But you can buy a hock of ham, which is...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Now, that's at least... Yeah.
Yeah. At least
listen,
at least
I am
animal.
With George. If you can't recognize the thing on your plate, don't touch it.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those food tourists either. You send me to a country and they tell me, we eat this part of the goat. I'm like...
well, good for you.
You can carry on. I will pay a premium to not eat that part of the goat.
I tell you, I went to Vietnam years ago. And I made the biggest mistake of doing exactly that, eating the local delicacy. So I had eel.
Oh, dear.
I was sick for 2 days. I thought I was going to end up in hospital or dead.
That is horrific. And eel, have you seen what they look like when they're alive, let alone when they're dead?
We eat worse-looking things.
So King Henry I, we talked about funny ways to die in history, right? Mm. All those different things. King Henry I, in about 1100 and something, died of a surfeit of lampreys.
Which was probably, is it a surplus of something?
Good. You're warm.
And is an animal part.
Yes. So he ate too many lampreys. A lamprey is a kind of eel, which is what made me think of it. But it's got teeth like those worms in Dune. Okay? That's kind of what a lamprey is. And apparently it's a real delicacy. It was part of royal menus for hundreds of years. But this King Henry I is supposed to have eaten so many lampreys that he died.
And he wasn't even the fat one.
No.
That was the eighth.
I think if you eat too many lampreys, there's a chemical in it.
Yeah, like a toxin.
That builds up and it just knocks you out.
But it's the same as fish with mercury.
Yeah.
If you overconsume fish, you can get mercury poisoning.
Right, because it stays in the food pyramid with them and it doesn't leave us. There's no way. We don't have a mechanism in our bodies for expelling mercury.
Yeah.
So whatever you take in, just whatever, something has to eat you to get the mercury out of you.
Like right? The woman who swallowed a fly.
Something with like, by the way, I finally watched Dune 2, the second Dune movie. Wow. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it. I actually thought it's probably going to be lame. You know, Timothy Chalamet. I was like, ugh, Hollywood, it's going to be lame. But I loved it.
Are you one of those people that when a new sequel comes out, you watch the first one or two? That's what I do.
Oh, so you watch them and you binge both?
I binge both, yeah. So okay, I haven't watched Dune 2 yet, but if a sequel comes out, I'd go back and watch the first one. And then
You have watched the first one.
Yes.
So you'd watch it again.
I'd watch it again.
So
and
that
then,
you could remind yourself of what happened.
I don't watch movies twice, ever. I've never watched a movie twice.
Never?
Unless it was like I was at a party.
Jaws?
Never twice.
Terminator?
No.
It's like when The Matrix came out. I think I watched the first Matrix about 4 times.
Wow.
Because I think there's 4 movies.
Right. So you had to every time go back and watch the other preceding ones. No, there are some movies I've watched a lot.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't mind. Like, there's definitely some stuff that I could watch again and again. In fact, that was my overriding decision maker back in the days of DVDs, because you'd actually
buy
the movie.
Oh, you had to buy them, yeah.
Yeah, and I would be like, if I'm not going to watch this more than once, I'm not going to buy it.
I've never watched a DVD twice. Yeah. Mm. I feel like it's just wasting time. I've seen it, done it. I want to move on to the next thing. Well, like, get as much information in.
The sad irony is that I don't have a means to play a DVD anymore.
No, that's the thing.
Like, I don't, you could probably play it on a gaming console.
Could you?
I don't even have one of those. Yeah. So I'm a bit stuck because I've got all these brilliant DVDs. I prided myself on my collection. Now I can't watch them. It's like you've got a safe full of things, but you've forgotten what the combination is.
Yeah, exactly.
Very bad.
Talking about consuming content, I was watching this podcast the other day, and this this lady was trying to put a different spin on mental health. And her argument was mental health, everybody's mentally healthy.
Yeah.
So, you know, mental health is, I mean, I'm no doctor. Dr. Khanang probably, you know, cringe at me talking about
this.
But,
go on.
But mental health is something that is pretty broad. What we've got to shoot for is mental fitness.
Oh boy! Here's a whole new category.
And a whole new category. So, so within mental health is mental fitness, and mental fitness is the thing that we get wrong more than mental health, because most people are mentally healthy. You're only mentally unhealthy when, you know, serious problems occur. But mental fitness is something you can actually work on, and content consumption is part of mental fitness. Mm. The more junk you consume, the more unmentally fit you become.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. There's a
shorter book. Shorter attention spans.
Mm. What?
Shorter attention spans.
What? What? There's a really brilliant author called Abigail Schreier, and she's written a book called Bad Therapy, which is shooting up the charts in America at the moment. I heard an interview with her the other day. She wrote a book before this called Irreversible Damage, which is about like the trance phenomenon.
She sounds quite doom and gloomish.
No, she's actually really cool.
Okay.
And brave, because she's taking on subjects which people are extremely touchy and sensitive about, right? They're like, no, no, you can't mess with this. It's a sacred cow. And in Bad Therapy, the subtitle is Why the Kids Aren't Growing Up.
Mm.
And it's kind of how the whole therapy and mental health and antidepressant and all of that universe that's grown up around that stuff is actually making people less happy and less capable of dealing with life.
Mm.
All of that is inhibiting their ability to deal with stuff.
Mm.
Mm. And I think a lot of the times it's because so many people want to find out. You want an excuse as to why you're feeling the way you are.
Yeah.
So we're looking for diagnosis, but we're not looking further than that. So we're going, oh, I have ADHD, and then leaving it alone. We're not putting in the work to get over it. We just mope around going, I have this, I have this. But we're not getting – I just spat all over. Sorry, Borge.
Jesus, all right. What's wrong with you?
It's an age thing.
Spitting all over. What are you like – Adolf Hitler bursting into Ernst Röhm's room with a whip spit-flecked and
very
shouting and ranting.
Very passionate about this.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, we're not taking it to the next step. So we're just going, oh, I'm depressed. I'm not fixing it.
And this woman makes a similar argument when it comes to mental fitness and emotional regulation. Under mental health, it's okay to feel any way you like.
Yeah.
But under mental fitness, you've got to actually do things to emotionally regulate yourself rather than just giving in to the feeling.
Okay, I know we're going to sound very old if we go this way, but if you went to your parents as a kid, and we all had different parents. I don't know how your parents necessarily responded to you. But
didn't
if you
yours
went to,
burn you with cigarettes?
Chuck me with a slipper.
If you went to your parents as a kid and you were like, Mom, I'm depressed, how would that have gone?
I don't know if they would have understood.
What would they have done? Would they have said, you go outside
and play in the sun?
Play. Or something, right? I mean, my parents were definitely. And I'm often accused of being very unkind about the way that my parents raised me, because I tend to think I was raised like a wolf. But I do believe they did me an enormous service, because there wasn't a lot of room for sympathy.
Mm.
Like, I remember once I broke my arm and my mother said, I'm going to break your other arm because you're just trying to miss tennis today or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm. I was like, well, okay, harden the fuck up. Mm. And I don't think that you could be unsympathetic and horrible. But I also think that these days parents are trying to be so soft and so understanding, and their little darlings can't do anything wrong, that they're actually doing them a massive disservice in the long run, because they have no coping mechanism for anything other than comfort. right? Like, unless you are happy and comfortable all the time, which is pretty much impossible if you're a living, breathing, sentient human, to be happy and comfortable all the time, that's a mental weirdness.
Yeah.
And to learn to cope with stuff is actually really good. So less sympathy might not be the worst medicine.
So, I mean, at Autotrader, the way we deal with being empathetic, we've tried to develop formulas around these things, or should I say processes around them, is if somebody has depression, family issue, or even, you know, has had trauma of some kind.
Sure.
Okay. The business and the leaders in the business need to show empathy. I think that's important. You got to show empathy.
I would have a trap door that would open and the person would fall into it onto spikes. But like in Jabba the Hutt in Star Wars, it'd be eaten by a rancor. Is that not what you do?
We just push the trap door a little bit further out.
Oh.
Okay. So what I mean by that is you got to show empathy. And but there's a limit. And I think that's probably what you're looking for is there's a limit to the empathy, and the limit is demonstrated in, okay, we're here for you, send you for counseling, send you for
sessions. You guys do, well, that's amazing.
Yeah, so we try and help. But in that help, the trapdoor is we need to see progress. Mm. If we don't see progress, sorry.
I think that's very good. I mean, I'm not joking. I do have a trap door. And we've tried to get a rancor, but I think they've all died. I don't know.
I remember you, actually, we had a conversation. I was speaking to you from my hospital bed. And I had bronchitis and pneumonia.
And you were meant to be on the show?
I'd lost my voice.
Oh.
And you were starting up. I think I'd moved up from Cape Town. And okay. You said to me, why don't you consider coming back to Cliff Central? And I said yes, but then I got horribly ill and I was in hospital for almost 2 weeks. And you eventually said to me, I need an answer. When are you coming back? And I was lying there with machines on me going, I'm really sick. You're going, well, I need to know by the end of the week.
No sympathy, huh? Wow. Okay. This is painting me in a very bad light. So a couple of comments from people here about their parents and what they would have said. You want to cry, says Congo Chris. I'll give you something to cry about.
I remember those comments often.
Rolene says, my dad would have said something. I'll give you something to be depressed about.
There we go.
This is the great parents of the Gen X generation.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Zero sympathy. Wow, this will make me look smart with my family mental illness, says Asango. Grace says, have you seen those kids at American universities that have formed encampments for Palestine, yet they know nothing about the conflict or the region? Hilarious. Yeah, but that's also like a little bit, Bill Maher did a great monologue on how so much of this stuff is just, look at me, pay attention to me, me also, me, me, me. It doesn't matter whether it's Ukraine, Gaza, Afghanistan, you know. Whatever it might be, animal rights, the environment, whatever it is. It's like, me, 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 pay attention to me. Mm. That's so much of what we see now. So, yes. And then Congo Crystals says this, which is a great saying. I've heard it before, but I like it. A ship is the safest in the harbor, but that's not what ships are made for.
That's true.
So the parents who try to keep the kids safe.
Need some water.
Yeah, I think that's very good.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes we can be so critical of how our parents brought us up. We can see it both ways. So for instance, I remember, you know, I was left at the frozen peas, and that's what I was going to...
Yeah, you've been traumatized about that for years.
Where my mom left me in a pram at the frozen peas in, I don't know what it was in those days, and drove away and forgot about me completely.
I was expecting something less...
It's quite dramatic.
Less dramatic. Yeah.
And then
well,
I remember...
It still bothers her 100 years later.
Yeah. And then I remember saying to her, Mom, why did you cotton me, what's it called? Wrap me in cotton wool when you were going through your divorce, because now I'm going through the same thing and no one told me it was this tough. So we can be critical either way.
Yeah,
we'll just spin our own story.
I mean, we do give parents a lot of shit on this show, but we also cut them a lot of slack because it's an imperfect science. Like you're a dad, George, and it's... You don't know whether you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing some of the time. And there isn't a guidebook that gives you a definite answer for what the right way to do something is.
You're dealing with a human that you can't predict.
Exactly.
You can't predict.
This is the hardest thing.
But I think I think there's some studies around this, but the adults of today that are over the age of 40 or 45, because of the way we were brought up, we're actually competing with the youngsters quite successfully.
You mean we're winning?
Because we're tougher.
Yeah. But again, all I care about is, are we winning?
Well, I mean, just look at what the world's made up of. But we're tougher. All of the biggest companies in the world today, Google, not Google so much, but SpaceX, Tesla.
I've never had SpaceX. Can't wait.
Apple.
Right.
All of those people are over 40 or 45, okay. Even 55.
Huh.
I think it's because of the way we were brought up. It was tougher. People had to go to the army.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true. I'm very happy with all of that. I also don't think I've ever looked back on my life and thought my parents were shit at this or whatever.
Mm-mm.
Like, I know there are people who have serious issues with their parents, and I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for their parents too, because they might just be horrible assholes. But so what? What are you going to do? It's done, right? Like, are you going to sit and dwell and go round and round, navel gaze, think about how it could have been, would have been, should have been?
No.
What are you doing? Move on.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody. And actually, the big realization is going to be no one cares. Wah. So there's our session for the morning. You listen to Dr. Hanan in the first hour and me in the second hour. It'll change your whole perspective. I mean, you'll go through the gamut, right? Now we have helicopter parenting, says Congo Chris. Back in the day, it used to be shotgun parenting.
Yes.
Squeeze out 20 kids, hope enough survive to keep the farm or family business going.
But also the absolute horror of seeing your mom at school for some reason. You'd be like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Get out.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I know.
You didn't want your mom being in the tech shop.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hell no. You didn't want any connection to home while you were at school.
Yeah, because you were busy being tough and fending for yourself.
Yeah, you were like, this is where I can be, you know, the main guy.
Mm.
Meanwhile, you get home and say, how was your school day, darling? It was very nice. Thanks, Mum. What do you want in your lunchbox? Well, whatever you got. Okay.
Maybe that's where multiple personalities come from.
Maybe, maybe. And you know what? You can't be the same with everybody. And people aren't. Everybody who says, like, you've got to be completely consistent all the time. I try to be, because it's harder to remember two versions of everything. But I would be lying to you if I didn't say I'm different around very old people to how I am around young people. I'd be lying to you if I said that I was completely different, if I was the same in front of my very good friends and people I've just met. Of course, you have to modify your behavior. I don't think that's schizophrenic.
I don't think it's schizophrenic.
No, it's survival.
I think what's probably going on there is, as we age, we become more authentic. I feel much more authentic now than I was 10 years ago.
Yeah, you're still trying to people please and all that stuff.
But how I bring that authenticity to bear is different for different people. I'll be tougher with Gareth versus Leanne, but the content will be the same.
Right. No. I think that's very good. That's exactly why I'm looking forward to being the cranky old man. It's going to be so much fun. I mean, imagine me with even less filter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be devastating, right?
They're going to have to they're going to have to watch you very carefully in an old age home.
Just put me straight into jail now. Rolene says, I'm stronger today because of my parents, but they were never bad. It was very fair.
Mm.
I think that's also a thing. So I heard something interesting yesterday. That apparently the great apes, so all of our closest,
like the bonobo,
all of our closest animal relatives, so the orangutans, the bonobos, the gorillas, the chimpanzees, they apparently have a very low tolerance for unfairness.
How do they judge that?
Well, so there was this guy who had a pet chimp, and then he sent the chimp to one of those rehabilitation centers where it could be socialized with other chimps, because he felt like it was wrong to have a pet chimp.
Yeah.
And he decided it must be with other chimps. must learn to be a chimp. It mustn't be a pet anymore. And then for its birthday one year, he brought it a cake. And he gave it a cake and not the other chimps. And he was in the enclosure and they ripped him limb from limb, the person, the human. These chimps do not like favoritism.
Wow.
No.
Okay.
And
yeah.
They like to rip humans apart.
They love to rip a human, face ripper, balls ripper. I mean, also they do that because male chimps especially need to disarm a male threat to their dominance, right? So they will immediately go for the genitals, which emasculates you.
Yeah.
They will go for the arms and the legs so you can't fight back. And they don't really care about the rest. They're not going to eat the torso or whatever. But once they've ripped off all of those things, you're not going to last very long anyway.
So I'm like, ha-ha, go
away. And they're very strong. But they have a genuine dislike of unfairness.
Interesting. Mm.
So I said to the person who told this to me, therefore they're communists. So he said, yeah, probably. So if apes can be communists, shouldn't we try and do better?
Yeah.
And speaking of socialism, I saw something very cool just this morning. I like this a lot. It's a very short, sweet debunking of socialism. Number one, if socialism worked, all the socialists could just meet up, put all of their wealth into a pot, and divide it equally among themselves.
Mm.
But this has never happened.
Mm.
Right? Like, you could be a through and through socialist. You find other socialists who are just like you. They really believe that stuff. I want to see just a small group of them, a manageable group, 10.
Mm.
10 socialists get together, put everything you own, cash, jewelry, cars, houses, whatever it is, into the pot and then divide it equally. Mm. When you guys can get that right with 10 people, then we'll take you seriously as a political movement.
Yeah.
And until that happens, I don't believe you. But I do think that thing with the great apes is fascinating because it does tell you a little bit about what our genetic predispositions might be. We don't like unfairness and we don't like favoritism. Mm,
unless you're the one being favorited.
Well, I mean,
favored.
We don't know how the chimp who got the cake felt. He must have felt pretty full of himself.
Yeah.
But they didn't take it out on the chimp. They took it out on the person who was being, you know.
But what do they call, a gaggle of chimps?
You want to say school, but it's not.
Anyway, if it's even a school of chimps.
Yeah, collective noun chimps. Yeah, Leanne is our language expert on the show. And our on-the-spot fact checker.
It's a whoop.
A whoop of chimps.
Whoop of chimps.
A whoop of chimps. So in a whoop of chimps, right?
Is it a
collective noun for a group of chimpanzees is a whoop.
A whoop. Okay.
Or a cartload, a group, a harem, a troop, and a whoop.
A troop. Troop sounds good.
A troop. I'm pretty sure troop, is yeah. the yeah.
So in a troop of chimps, is it like a lion pride where if you don't pull your weight, you get kicked out?
Okay. I think primates are a little bit more sophisticated. I don't know. I mean, this is where there's a really interesting book I'll give you if you're into this, George, which I haven't read, but it's sitting on my shelf waiting to be read.
Uh-huh.
And it's about what we can learn from apes.
So my point is really...
And it goes into a lot of the detail around how they socially arrange themselves,
It's... You can't be in a troop of chimps.
And not pull your weight.
Okay.
So I know where you're going with this.
Like they wouldn't tolerate laziness.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the definition of fairness is only within a troop of chimps that are pulling their weight.
Okay.
The guy on the outside ain't getting cake.
They don't care about you.
They don't care about you. You can die for all they care.
Yeah. And I think that's very human too.
Mm.
I mean, we really don't like someone who's just a parasite.
Mm.
Someone who, like, by the way, speaking of parasites, the collective noun for baboons is a parliament.
Parliament
of baboons.
It's much more intelligent than a whoop.
Baboon troops will kick out young rogue males. They're eventually allowed to come back. But in their time away, if it resulted in no change of behavior, they're kicked out permanently.
Geez, so they give them another chance.
So that's my point about fair.
Okay.
Fair is not equal.
Yes. Yes, that's a very good point.
And in business and capitalism, fair is not equal.
No. You can treat people fairly, but you can even treat them. You can even treat them equally, but it doesn't mean that you'll have equal outcomes.
Yes.
I think that's probably where we're headed on this. Friends who are under 25 or so say that the discipline I received, says Rochelle on our performance discussion, when growing up borders on child abuse, but I'm grateful for it because comparatively I'm way more resilient in tough situations.
Yeah, it's true.
Tough. I mean, the people our age are tough.
I remember my brother phoning Childline the once.
Ooh.
And my mom grabbed the phone from him and said, if you think he's crying now, and slammed the phone
I mean,
down.
Now you'd have someone would come and remove
yeah,
you.
They would.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and if I were a child and I threatened my parents with that,
ooh.
Ooh, I would have got a hiding.
I would have been grounded.
Big hiding. Unbelievable. No alpha male apes will keep weak males around to display dominance. Wrong. Weak males don't get kicked. It's not like lions, says Green Copy. No, but I know that, for example, there's no such thing as a successful beta male in any species except in humans. And by successful, we mean they occasionally get laid, but they use sneaky tactics to get that done. Beta males are
not. I know
a
few of those.
Yeah, they're the worst, right? Everybody dislikes and distrusts them with good reason. Judith says, I grew up apart from both of my parents, but I learned from a very, very early age about owning up to my actions. Parents can give guidance and advice, but the actions come from the individual. Yeah, I suppose you have to be responsible for your own decisions.
Take accountability,
right.
Yeah.
A parliament of baboons, says Mapelo, is more intelligent than the South African parliament. Well, it's a photo finish. Let's put it that way. I just love this stuff. A parliament of owls is also correct. So
owls are called parliament of owls.
Yeah, yeah. So there's the good and the... less good.
Yeah, talking about owls, in our area, there's a catch and release program.
Oh yeah,
for owls
and
bats. So in our area, we've gotten these two organizations.
Your area specializes in nocturnal animals.
Yeah,
George's neighborhood is principally for nocturnal animals. All the diurnal animals know not to go there if something happens.
Don't come. Yeah. Don't come. And these people they take rehabilitated owls and release them into areas that want them released. And I saw one the other night.
I think owls are wonderful.
Oh, I love them.
The only problem, and you can Google this on your own after the show as your homework. Any problem with owls? Is if you look at one when its feathers have been plucked, like they've got, you know, some in museums, and I don't advise people to go around and pluck owls' feathers.
No.
But if you look at what they look like without feathers, they are truly the most terrifying alien looking things imaginable.
They've got the
Their
longest
legs. Come up
legs.
To here.
Really?
It's
such a feather.
George.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google this.
Like an owl's a beautiful looking bird, right? Mm. But without feathers.
Do you remember we had a baby owl come to the studios before?
It did once, yeah.
Oh,
you
know,
we had all
sweet.
Kinds of animals. Don't you remember in the beginning of Cliff Central, there were cheetahs in the studio one day?
Yeah.
You did your show on a Friday, didn't you?
Yeah.
We had cheetahs even before that in the bowels of the SABC.
Can you imagine how that frightened the security guards?
I took cheetahs for a walk once about 15 years ago on the garden route. You can actually walk cheetahs on a leash. There's two guides with you with rifles.
Right, in case
you misbehave.
You get a 30-minute talk before you take these cheetahs for a walk. And these cheetahs are, I mean, in the studio you would have known, they're big. Mm. And there's rules. Don't bend down.
Yeah.
Mm.
Don't make sudden movements.
You're not supposed to touch their
you couldn't touch them. You couldn't touch
or
them
their
at all.
Face.
You could just hold the leash and walk them and they walked fine. If you make a sudden movement that looks like you're going to run, they will attack you.
Yeah, because it's like chasing a piece of wool.
It's instinctive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was terrified.
And cheetahs are the least dangerous
terrifying,
of the big cats,
for
right?
Humans.
I mean, like, they're probably the ones who are most docile and able to interact with us without eating us.
Yeah, leopards aren't going to stand. You're not going to stand a chance.
Oh, can't take that guy for a walk.
No.
He'll take you for a walk.
Yeah, they'll disembowel you just because you look
all
at
while
them
looking
funny.
Beautiful.
Yeah, oh yeah. All right, well, listen, I'm afraid This has gone so quickly this morning.
Butch, we didn't even talk about like cars and
stuff. We didn't talk about cars at all.
I had too much fun.
Well, you can still get the Auto Trader podcast, which you can find on all the good podcast catches. It's also on YouTube. And we will be we'll be doing more cool stuff with George coming up. But it's always lovely to have you in. And you know, it's like a fun breakfast party where people just join us. And if you joined
just
us this
the
morning,
breakfast.
If you're new to the show, welcome. I mean, we haven't said that for a while because we may have a whole new group of people who come in now just to see what we're doing. And you're welcome to stay, unless you're very irritating, in which case we'll be happy to kick you out.
Love the new studio.
Like a troop of baboons. Thanks, George.
Love the new studio.
Thanks.
It feels more real on the real network.
You think?
Yeah, no headphones.
Yeah. So we can actually concentrate on the conversation,
The conversation
right?
feels like a fireside conversation.
I'm not doing all the things.
You're not playing
Do you remember
piano,
how many things?
I was like an orang-utang.
I was like an orang-utang at the controls.
Or a gibbon.
With those long arms, like a gibbon. And the headphones and the mics and the... So who needs it?
This is a lot better.
Okay, very exciting. That's enough for today. Go and talk amongst yourselves. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Bye-bye.